An economy that's still not creating enough jobs. From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with a look at business and economics as Wall Street starts its day. Let's look ahead a little bit with Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So tomorrow we have the big number, the jobs report. What are you expecting tomorrow?
I think we're going to see ongoing improvement. It'll be another big month, over 200,000, maybe even nipping at 300,000. That's good news since we've, you know, sort of had a more lackluster job market up until this year. I think we're going to see those gains continue in the month of July. The composition of gains, we also get a little boost there because the auto industry was running some plants when they don't usually run plants, and that will help us out a bit too. Although, you know, the real problem has been the overwhelming majority of gains have been low-paying jobs. I don't think wages are going to move all that much this month.
And so we have unemployment trending down. You mentioned the problem in the low wage growth and such, but what are the other tricky problems that are still really dogging the job market as you see it?
Well, the good news is that we're losing some of those long-term unemployed and they're getting reemployed. The bad news is they're getting reemployed only in these low-wage or part-time jobs. They'd like to get full-time employment, but they're not. And that's been one of the sticky numbers out there is the 7.5 million people that are still working part-time, what we call for economic reasons. They'd like to find a full-time job, but they're sort of accepting anything just to be working. The good news is they are working. The bad news is they're not working enough to really cover all their bills.
Okay, Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Sony is starting to experiment with streaming classic PlayStation games online. The move is risky, but Sony says it'll open up the market and grow its audience. North Carolina Public Radio's Leonita Inge reports.
The PlayStation Now streaming service will allow gamers access to classics like Saints Row 4, Metal Gear Solid, and Ratchet & Clank. Janelle Bonanno is editor-in-chief of the online gaming magazine GameFront.com.
It kind of widens the field up for those who, let's say, don't have a $599, you know, PlayStation 4.
But you'll need a Sony Bravia television or a tablet. Sony says the plan is to introduce PlayStation to more customers on devices they use every day. Analyst Michael Pachter with Wedbush Securities is skeptical. He remembers the problems with OnLive streaming service.
So the only thing you're going to see from Sony is really old stuff with really low value, and they're not paying much for it. And because it has low value, they're not going to attract a lot of subscribers.
Sony hasn't released its full pricing list yet, but says most games will rent for between $2.99 and $19.99. I'm Leonita Inge for Marketplace.
Riding in an ambulance is scary, but there's at least the hope that you're safe and taken care of. But many first responders say ambulances are dangerous, in need of a major redesign. Tracy Samuelson reports on the drive to create better emergency transport and looks into what the ambulance of the future might look like.
Emergency responders work to free two of their own from this twisted wreckage.
Emergency medical services workers have on-the-job fatality rates that are nearly three times the national average. Jim Grove works in science and technology at the Department of Homeland Security, or DHS. He says bad vehicle design means ambulance workers often have to do their jobs without proper safety restraints, which he remembers from his past work in ambulances.
It was not uncommon to stand up and be doing chest compressions on somebody and having somebody hold onto my bunker pants and be going down the road at 35, 40, 50 mile an hour even.
Ambulances can be dangerous for patients, too. Skip Kirkwood is the director of Durham County Emergency Medical Services in North Carolina. He says patient cots often aren't securely mounted to the inside of the ambulance.
If the ambulance decelerates quickly, that mount comes loose from the floor and the patient may fly forward like a torpedo.
Kirkwood says ambulances are overdue for a redesign. They haven't changed much since the mid-70s.
Essentially, those ambulances have been boxes built by ambulance manufacturers, many of whom had their original heritage as motorhome or travel trailer builders.
So DHS and other agencies are developing new standards and recommendations for ambulance safety. Future ambulances might have pivoting chairs for EMS workers that slide along a track so they can treat a patient and reach their gear while seat belted. Jim Grove says DHS is also working on crash test standards for ambulances going 30 miles per hour.
There has been crash tests been done, but not to the level and degree that DHS and its partners have been doing those, and especially with the crash testing dummies.
Even though DHS is developing these new standards, it will be up to each state to eventually adopt them. Another hurdle will be cost. Early estimates are that they could add $10,000 to $15,000 to the price of each ambulance. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And finally, investigators are looking into a rather unusual counterfeiting scheme. Montana law enforcement says someone in the state is using fake bills, fake $1 bills. Counterfeiting is hard work, so forgers normally focus on bigger bills, $100 or at least $20. The local sheriff isn't sure why anyone would go through all the trouble just for a buck. Investigators say the fake singles are pretty lousy, uneven with the wrong texture. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.